Welcome back to another edition of Every Step of the Way Bible Study Discussion Group. A little more information about us. We're more of a discussion forum, a group of brothers that get together every Tuesday and talk about the gospel, share the gospel, share scriptures, and we tie it in with real life situations and try to make it plain and hopefully everybody can relate to it and we try to just bounce things off each other and make it make sense to the average man or even a seasoned person in the word. So hopefully you enjoy it.
It's the group discussion everyone wants more of. The type of conversation people want to be a part of. We share the gospel, scriptures, and we talk real life situations. You've heard us and followed us on Facebook Live. Now you can watch us right here on the Vision Live Network. The wait is over. It's now time for the Hour of Truth. Welcome to the Every Step of the Way Bible Discussion Podcast. The real starts now.
Jerome, I got this scripture for you.
Okay, brother. All right, guys, we're going to go ahead and get started. The title of our lesson from Every Step of the Way tonight is going to be The Weak and the Strong. And I'm going to start from Romans 14:1-4. Romans 14:1-4. And Romans 14:1 says, accept him whose faith is weak without passing judgment on disputable matters. One man's faith allows him to eat everything, but another man's whose faith is weak eats only vegetables. But the man who eats everything must not look down on him who does not. And the man who does not eat everything must not condemn the man who does. For God has accepted him. Who are you to judge someone else's servant? To his own master, he stands or fall, and he will stand, for the Lord is able to make him stand. So what I want to talk to us about tonight, I'm going to change it up a little bit. I want to go towards God commands us to care for the weak, to care for people that may not be as strong as you are. So what I want to start, my first question tonight is, what designate Rick? All right, Rick, unless you don't want to answer, that's fine. What designate an individual to be considered weak in God's eyes? What designate an individual to be concerned? Who is the weak and who is the strong when it comes down to the word of God?
Honestly, we all are the weak, because we all are striving to reach that point of perfection when it comes to being with God.
Amen. Amen. Mm-hmm. I like that response.
Mm-hmm.
But we know, Rick, I love this discussion, because sometimes we get people that is very knowledgeable of the word of God, mm-hmm. and we put ourselves in classifications like, well, because I know more than you, I'm stronger than you in the word mm-hmm. of God.
Right.
Sometimes we do that, but that doesn't necessarily make you strong. That doesn't right. make you weak. But according to the word of God, he was talking about in things like far as eating food and eating things back in those days in the Judaism times, when they was eating, certain people were eating certain things and certain people was not, because the people that were living by the law believed that you can only eat certain things. And then the new Gentiles, and they believe that you can eat, the Romans believe you can eat certain things. And then Jesus said, hey, don't condemn anything. Pray for everything. Everything you right. put in your mouth, just pray for it and it's good to go. But we have a tendency in other aspects of our lives to put people in categories. So what my question is tonight is, when it comes down to financial concerns, let's take it to the financial department. How should we that have money distribute our money to the people that may need? Prentice, give me some feedback on that.
Well, the Bible commands us in Galatians to take care of the poor.
Amen.
And in James, it commands us to look after the fatherless and the widows and orphans. So in a such a way that is not reckless. Just because I have, that doesn't mean I give recklessly.
Right.
But I give out of generosity and I give sacrificially. also. But that is a command from God for us to take care of the poor. Now, how people do it in different ways. Some people don't do it at all. Some people feel that if I can get out of here and work, they can get out of here and go work too. But is it for us to judge?
Amen.
Or is it for us to follow God's command?
Well, let me put it this way, friend. Let me stop you right there because you hit on some good points, and I wanna elaborate on some of the points that you brought up. So my next and Prentice kind of went into it, unless somebody else got some comments they want to add to what Prentice. Do anybody have anything? Brother Robert, do you have anything you want to add?
Go ahead with the next part.
It's gonna run together. So Prentice said something, but I want this question goes more to what Prentice saying. What determines whether a person is in need or do it matters because of what they ask? So what my question is, do we supposed to, when somebody comes to Jerome and they ask me to help them out with a particular case or financially, does it matter what they're going to do with the money? But as a Christian, should I help them? Because basically, are we passing judgment when we try to decide what are they going to do with it? Or are we supposed to just say, hey, a brother come to you, he say he needs something. Is it a judgment or what I'm asking? Are we passing judgment when we try to figure out are they going to use the money in the right manner? Brother, yes. Rob, I want you to give me some feedback on that.
Yes. Yes, we're passing judgment. And if he's a brother and he coming to ask for something, he'll probably tell you what he needed for, because he wants you to trust him that he'll either pay it back or you tell him you don't have to. But a brother should never come to another brother unless he's coming in true form to ask for something. Because, you know, the Bible do say, I heard you ask George to look up the scripture. Money, finance is a very touchy subject. It's very touchy to everybody. So I mean, when somebody asks for it, the first thing to do, that alarm goes off. And you ask for judgment, whether it's judgment or not. Sometimes we have to catch ourselves and back up, because we do. Well, hold on, what they might need it for.
Amen.
Yeah, we do that. But the alarm goes off, and we say, well, hold on. I don't want to judge you, but.
Brother Robert, I'm going to jump in again.
I'm happy.
I'm different than most people about this particular subject. I believe as a Christian man that if you come to me, that I have an obligation to God through the word to help you. But I also don't believe that it's my, that I should question what you're going to do with it because you came to me. I'm just going by what the word is saying. I'm going by all these scriptures. I got 47 scriptures here that basically backs up how you're supposed to support and help people in need. So, but my biggest, now I will admit, sometimes I struggle in the capacity that Brother Robert is talking about. And Prentice kind of hit on it too, because Prentice said something that I can't record. I don't want to quote him, but it almost seemed like Prentice was saying, we have a choice to make whether we give it or not. In my mindset, if somebody come to me and they ask, then we are obligated to try to help them if we have it to give. Dirty Bird, do you have anything on that? Without going too far and long?
In a way, I feel we are obligated, but then you got the one. I'm gonna use my example for instance. I always stop at the Walmart on Garner's Ferry maybe once a week in my company truck to grab me some supplies, and it's always the same guy out there when I go there early in the morning, and when I get off from work, begging for money. Now I'm not gonna. That just me. I'm not going to give somebody my money that I work hard for, because, you know, first time I did, the next time the guy see me, he asked me for money. So you got some people that's going to take advantage of you, man. And I know God said, you know, you're supposed to help them, but hey, I'm a firm believer, like my pastor told me too, don't be no fool.
Okay, well, I you know, Dirty Bird, I actually appreciate what you're saying, because believe it or not, a lot of people think the way you think. But I'm going to read a scripture to you, because this is about God. This is not about what we think. This is about what God is thinking. So Matthew 5:42 says, it says, give to the one who asks you, and do not turn away from the one who wants to borrow it from you. Luke 6:30 says, give to everyone who begs you. It comes from what you're saying, Dirty Bird. He said, give to everyone who begs from you, and from one that takes away your goods, do not demand it back.
Mm-hmm.
Proverbs 21:13 says, whoever closes his ear to the cry of the poor will himself call out and not be answered. So what I'm saying is, Dirty Bird, and to anybody that may listen, I can't put my way on you. I'm just telling mm-hmm. you what thus says the Lord when it comes to this type of subject. Now, I do believe that you have to have a special gift. I think the gift of giving almost should, it's a special thing to be able to just do that. Everybody can't do that. Some people feel like Dirty Bird. They feel like they're being used, feel like somebody taking advantage of you. But I can almost guarantee you, in my life, speaking for Jerome again, that every time somebody has tried to take advantage of me, God still reward me for my good gift.
Mm-hmm. Can I step in there for a minute?
Go ahead, brother.
Dirty Bird, this is not about you. This is me. And I think everybody, if you have some frequent spots that you stop by more than once a week or so, you find those people that see you and gonna ask you. Now, case of point myself, I be ready for them. When they ask for my chain, I got it for them because I know they gonna ask. And that change is not gonna break me or send me to the poorhouse. But it can elevate me. And like Jerome said, man, every time you give and bless somebody, your cup gonna run over. It runs over. Even when you are unexpectedly, it's gonna be full and running over, pressed down. And like I said, I'm not talking about you, Dirty, but I'm talking about myself.
Well, let me ask this question, Robert. Hold that thought. I want Prentice and George to get involved in this one because Glenn's not here tonight. Does it matter how many times a person asks you for help and the frequency? As a Christian, should we respond?
Let me say this right quick while Mr. George jump in there. A lot of times, it always don't have to be money. And I think sometimes that's what we get crossed up with. As soon as somebody say, I need help, that defense mechanism comes up in us. Sometimes it may not be about the money. If they're hungry, feed them. Mm-hmm. If you have an issue with giving the money, feed them. Mm-hmm. If they need clothes, go buy some clothes. if you have that big of an issue, find out what the need is and take care of the need. Because a lot of times it may not be about the money. But if it just what a, for as you say, if you prepared to give it, go and give it. And to be honest, I got mixed issues on a lot of it, but I mean, back and forth for years.
Brother Joel, what you got on that?
You know, when I think about sowing, the Bible talks about sowing seeds into people. There's also a part, and I don't know the scripture right off, but sometimes you can sow seed in bad ground. But for me, there has been incidents where I've seen a stranger on the side of the road going into Fort Jackson. My thing is this, I give it from my heart and what the Holy Spirit told me to give them. And what they do with it after that, it's up to them.
Amen.
So I can't get into what their mindset. I can only get into what God has put on my heart to give, to do. Now, I can tell you this, though, and I'm going to be real with you. I had a sister-in-law that I dealt with over some years, and I helped her to a point. And I'm going to say this because you got to be careful where you sow sometimes. Now, not in all cases. I know, Jerome, you have scripture to back up to God, but when you give it according to
the word of God. Now, there are incidents where I had to do what I did not, because, and I had a discerning spirit about it, and in which the manner what I dealt with, and every situation is different. So we got to be mindful of that too as well. I hope that helps somebody on tonight. And that's what I went through a couple of times, but there has been incidents where my heart is I give.
Well, it's so funny George said it, because let me ask this question. How do we feel as a Christian when we do not give? Because
that's good. That's good.
Because that's the piece. Right. That's the piece that eats me alive. Mm-hmm. There's occasions where when I feel in my spirit where I don't want to.
Right.
If the spirit is truly in you and somebody really needs something and they ask you for it and you don't have no kind of emotions about that, for Jerome again, I feel some kind of way. It eats me up. So I'm asking you guys now. I'm sure all of us have been in a situation where we said no. Prentice, how has it made you feel, Prentice, when you said that?
Go ahead, George. Let me say this real quick. It is awesome that you say that. I was down at the Colonial Center, and I was walking. Now listen to this. Now I was walking back, and there was a man that was in. He was in a. I think he was in a wheelchair, right? And he asked me for money, right? Now listen to this. Now, and I heard him ask me, but I kept walking. Then the Holy Spirit came up to me and said, turn around and go back.
That just happened to me.
I turned around and look, I'm gonna be honest, that was the last $40 I had. But I did what the Holy Spirit did. Guess what? I gave him 20, and guess what came next week? A check for $100.
Hey, George, let me tell you what happened to me just for the day Monday. No, the day Tuesday. Last Thursday, I went to the local store about 5 minutes from the house, living in Baltimore. This young man, who he looked as sharp. So when he asked me for the money, he didn't look too homeless to me.
Right.
So he only asked me for $2. He only asked me for $2. And I said, no. I sat in the truck and I watched him. And he started talking to himself. He looked like he was off a little bit. Uh-huh. The Spirit of God said, get back out of this truck and go get this man this $2.
Right.
And I got back out. And I went back and I gave him the money because I started to feel bad about it.
Right, I did. Man?
And guess what? And I stayed in the truck and watched him go in the store. And he went in the store and bought him something to eat.
Yeah, right.
And then I felt bad. I said, wow, thank God I gave this dude this money.
Yeah.
Because sometimes it doesn't take a whole lot.
No, it doesn't.
Sometimes it's just the aggravation of it all. But guess what? They may truly be in need.
Right.
And that goes back to, you know, we may be passing judgment and say, oh, he don't need nothing. He don't need this. He don't need that. But we don't know that person's situation. A lot of times you don't even know the person. Right.
No, you don't.
Here's the power and magnitude of what you're saying. God can do more with a little bit than you can do, than you could ever do.
Amen. Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah. And think about it.
Go ahead, friend.
No, I'm saying the thing about it, you never know when something can happen and we may be in need at that moment. We may be that person. True. You can have all the money in the bank in the world and we can't get to it.
Right.
Because of a certain situation. To be honest, I can tell you of numerous situations where I done been in.
Mm-hmm.
Over the years, man, I can go down a list of the many different encounters I done had with people. And just that, I tell you, one of the ones that really brought tears to my eyes was the young lady was at the gas pump, and she asked me to put a few dollars of gas in her car. When I did it without even thinking, I said, "Sure," because I had the pump in my hand. But when I went to put the gas in the car, I looked in the car. Her kids was in the car, sleep. Jesus. They had everything they owned packed in the car.
Jesus.
And she was sitting at the gas pump hoping somebody give her a little bit of gas to get where she was going.
Amen, Prince.
So I put the gas in the car and I gave her $20. She said, thank you, now we can eat tonight. You know how that hard that for someone that, you looking at a mom with kids in the car,
right?
And she's going, thank you, we can eat tonight.
I want to read something to you guys that really brings this home. 1 Timothy 5:8, it says, but if anyone does not provide for his relatives, and especially for the members of his household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. I'm going to say that again, man. It's so sharp. It said, but if anyone does not provide for his relatives. See, his relatives is not talking about your immediate family. It's not talking about your kids.
Okay.
They talking about aunts and uncles, first cousin, relatives. Who you can? The word broke it down into a relatives. That shocked me because he said relatives. So he said, but if anyone does not provide for his relatives, and especially for the members of his household, he said, especially for the members of his household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever.
Right.
This is the word of God, y'all. This is not Jerome.
Mm-hmm.
But believe it or not, there's a lot of people to disagree with this method. So now let's go to the negative side of it. Let's go to the negative side. Dirty Bird tried to go there, and I appreciate Dirty Bird for being honest, because a lot of people think like Dirty Bird think. Trust me when I tell you that. A lot of people think that way. So now let's go the way Dirty Bird said it. So Rick, what if somebody you know is trying to take advantage of you? What if you know somebody that keep coming to you asking you for money? They don't have their finances in order. They asking and they saying one thing, doing another. How should the people that are listening to us, we're trying to be men of God. But let's say some young person is listening to us tonight. How should they handle that, Rick?
Honestly, when you know someone's trying to take advantage of you, instead of giving them the money, you show them how to make the money. You get them a different avenue.
There you go.
I'm going to take it a step further, Rick. I can't show them how to make the money. I can tell them how to make the money. But what I will do, if somebody, from now on, I'm thinking about going this route. My wife actually recommended to this. Instead of giving them the money, ask them what they need to pay for and then say, okay.
Exactly.
If you need the light bill paid, what light bill company do you deal with? And just call the company up and pay it. Instead of putting the money in your hand. Mm-hmm. You know, just go ahead and take care of it for them.
But what I also mean by that, by showing how to make the money, this place is called, it's called Labor Ready and stuff like that.
There you go.
You can go work for a day and
okay, make, I got you, Rick. I got you, Rick.
Yeah, that's what I mean by show them. Because if you keep giving them, you're just enabling them to not go out and try to do for themselves.
Well, I heard that before. Rick said that. I'm going to say that loud because Rick said something that's very important. Rick said that when you continue to give people, you enabling them for doing it for themselves and trying to make it happen so that they get to what they need on you. Charles, what you think about what Rick just said?
Well, what happened to me? I was working and stopped by the post office one day, and I think I had about $25 in my pocket. A guy came up to me. He didn't have on shoes. He didn't have on any. He didn't have a shirt. And he said, "Brother, can you help me out, man? Cause I'm hungry, man. I really need some food, man." I said, "God." And I thought about it. I said, "Okay." I had the $25, and I gave the gentleman a $20 bill. I had the $5 because I was gonna stop by and get a little snack or something. And I gave him the 20. The guy went back across the street, and there was a liquor store right at the post office.
Jesus.
And this joker went straight to the liquor store with my $20 bill. Boy,
Dawg, you trying to throw my class out the window, man. You trying to throw my class out the window, man.
Mr. Charles, I had one like that for you too, but I left it alone.
When you give it out your head.
Well, we said we're gonna show both sides of the equation. We're gonna show the negative and the positive.
In my case, Mr. Charles, he asked me for 50 cents to buy what he needed in Dollar General. I told him, man, put everything you got on the counter. I just pay for it. But the money he saved, he went straight across the street. Said, oh, well, that's good. That's good. Hey.
Hey, Jay, I got a question.
Yes, sir. What you got?
In biblical times, I'm not quite sure, but the economic gap from that era in this era, I'm pretty sure that they're not the same, right? And so those scriptures, when you to the average person when we having this discussion, the economic gap probably wasn't as big as it is now, and you didn't have as many users per se. How do we talk about that? Because those scriptures probably were easy to live by back then, because you weren't running into users after users after users and people trying to beat you.
Hey, Todd, but I think we said it earlier. See, this is Jerome again. This is what I truly believe from the bottom of my heart. I believe that it ain't about the other person that asked me. It's about where I'm at with God.
Yes, yeah, right. My heart.
It's about my heart, my relationship with Christ.
Yeah.
See, people can try to use me all they want, but God got me.
Right.
See, even if I give you $100 or $200 or $1,000 and you use it in the wrong manner, but if I did it from my heart for the glory of God, I'm good.
That's it. And God will honor that.
He will honor that. Yeah. I can promise you he will honor that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So what I'm saying is,
now without I see
what it taught without, to me, what Todd is asking is worse today, because we got more financial needs and gains, and people make more money.
Right.
And the money aspect, everybody, you know, got a little something going on. A lot of people got a little something going on. So it's easier for us to pitch in and help the poor. Because everybody's making a lot, you know, a lot more, not everybody, but a lot more people are making good money than what it was probably back in the biblical times that Todd is talking about. So it doesn't hurt me to give somebody $10 or $15 to help them out with a meal. But the problem I want to talk about next for the next 15 minutes is, let's go with Todd, man. What about the people that we know working? They got families. They look like they should have it okay, but they still come to you and ask you for a favor. Should that change our thought process on giving?
No.
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 It shouldn't. In my mindset, it shouldn't. No. But should those people, see, when somebody take advantage of me, Prentice, Charles, George, Rick, Brother Price, if somebody take advantage of us guys, they got to answer to God.
Yep.
Yep.
They got to answer to God for that.
Yeah.
So, cause I'm straight. I did what thus says the Lord.
Right,
I did what you asked me to do. I backed up the scripture with my actions.
Mm-hmm.
The scripture called for me to help the poor and to give and all the stuff that I just read. And guess what? Yeah. When I give, I'm glorifying God by doing His will.
Yeah.
Now, what their mean and their method behind it, right, wrong, or indifferent, that's something they're gonna have to answer for. But I can't sit here. Let's say Charles, you got $1,000 in your pocket. We'll just leave it at $1,000.
Okay.
And somebody came up and asked you for $10. And it ain't gonna hurt you for one bit. How in the world can you turn somebody away for $10 and you got $1,000 in your pocket?
Yes.
It don't matter who it is.
Mm-hmm.
See, it don't make no sense to me when we have so much, but we don't want to give nothing.
That's right.
But you know, Jerome, whether it's back in biblical times or in 2020, the word still applies.
Amen, Charles. Thank you.
It's still the same.
Amen, Charles. Amen, Charles.
And Luke said, Luke 6:38 said, give, and it shall be given unto you, pressed down, shaken together, and with the same measure that I give, it shall be returned unto me. And that's just not money. But it's the whole thing. If I see a brother that's in need, I'm supposed to help him. Although that look still with that 20, that word still, I'm still supposed to, if God blesses me in a way that I'm supposed to be a blessing to somebody else. I'm just trying as a vessel, a funnel, he poured in and poured out.
Hey, amen. I believe it, Charles, and I appreciate your backup on it. I believe that. My wife would tell anybody that I don't talk it, I actually live it. I actually live it. Do I get frustrated sometimes? Yes, I do. Yeah. But man, the blessing of God has been poured out in my life. And I think it's because if it's one thing Jerome Boyd do right, he have a giving heart. Have I messed a lot of other things up? Yes. But when it comes, I came from nothing. That's my mentality is, I came here with nothing, man. I grew up on the Ponderosa in Prosperity. I ain't have nothing. So even when I started making it, I still feel like I got nothing because I never had it anyway. So I still feel like I got nothing no matter how much I get. I still feel that way. I never, ever forgot where I came from. And so when you started looking down on people, sometimes you start to act like you don't forgot where you came from.
Right.
You cannot do that because God know you. See, one thing I've learned in my short stay with God and my short walk with God is this. He's giving, and Lord knows he can take it away.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
So let me ask something real quick.
Go ahead,
let me ask something real quick. And this is a great discussion. And Jesus was all of a servant. Everything was about serving, right? And I don't want anybody to answer this out loud, but I want you to think about it. Aside from giving somebody $10 in the need, that's, I'm trying to say this without being abrasive. It's not as big as a deal as we making it sound. I mean, if you know the word, and if I'm not trying to minimize it, you give it to them, that's great. But what do we do as believers and men of God away from something like that? Because it's so many ministries and so many outreach and so many other things as a servant that we could be partaking in. Where are we individually in the server? Because Jesus was all about serving. That $5 to the homeless man on the spot, that's cool. That's probably about a 5 out of 10 on the scale. But what else do we do as servants? What else do we do out of the way that's uncomfortable or not on par with what I plan? What do we do off course from that?
Well, I think people look at this differently in my mind. I'm gonna answer it because I think it's important. I think anything you do for somebody else is serving God. It's a service. Right. I don't care if it's somebody who you think needed greatly or somebody needed shortly. I think whatever you may do to go out of your way to give, because it's unnatural to just give things that you work so hard for and you believe that the next man can do the same.
Mm-hmm.
So to me, any level of giving to anybody is serving God. And that's what the word says. It's serving. So, but yes, is there a whole lot of other things that you can do? Of course, there's a lot of things all of us can do. We can do more. We can always do more. But I think you just got to continue to do the best you can and serve God the best way you can and give. But some people don't want to give at all. And that's what this discussion is about tonight. Some people really don't want to give at all. They don't believe they should give. They don't. They think every man is for himself and they got a right to work and blah, 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 blah. But I kind of agree with Todd. I think we ought to get outside our comfort zone and do a little bit more. I do. I think we ought to try to do more. But sometimes we just don't.
One other thing right quick, man.
Go ahead, Rick.
When you're giving, you can't look for something to come back to you.
Go ahead. Say that again.
Whenever you're giving something, you can't look for something in return.
Most of the time, the greatest gift is the gift of time and love. So really won't be anything coming back from that.
I can promise you, I've gave till it hurt. And I don't look for nothing back. And I don't look for the money back, honestly. because you shouldn't.
James 2:14-17 kind of go with what Todd is saying. I was going to, that was my last scripture that I got some more, but I want to really make sure I did this
one. I got it pulled up for you.
James 2:14-17 said, "What good is it, my brothers and my sister, if someone claims to have faith but has no deeds? Can such faith save them? Suppose a brother or a sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of you say to them, 'Go in peace, keep warm and well fed,' but does nothing about their physical needs, what good is it? Good is it? In the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by actions, is dead."
And mm-hmm. Look at that. He throws that right in the middle when he's talking about your faith. Mm. He throws in there taking care of others right in the middle when he's talking about your faith. Because when you give and you having to give your money or your time, it's going to test your faith. Am I doing this? You know, can I do this? Mm-hmm. Because also, if there's another side of this, because sometimes we give out loud. And what I mean by that is, we give for show. Oh. We want the world
Amen.
To know.
Amen.
I Amen. Gave $100 to the church fund, and we want to put it on Front Street.
Yes.
That way we figure, well, I done did my good deed for the day or whatever, and the Lord go bless me. But that's the wrong attitude to give.
Right.
Amen.
Amen, guys. Amen. 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 That's good stuff. Brother Dakota, do you have any? I know you came in late, but do you have anything you want to add?
What y'all talking about just now, praise the Lord, brothers, about giving. Like you said, it's a sacrifice. It's uncomfortable sometimes. I did something for the first time past Christmas when we went to go to the homeless on Christmas Day. I've never done that before on Christmas Day, because normally I'm used to being out home with my family in a warm house and whatever, exchanging just whatever the case may be. But this year our church, we went out on Christmas morning, on Sunday morning, and it was different. It was cold out there, but I can't be selfish like that, because there's people out there that's way less fortunate than what I am. That you know about Clint Finley Park, we go down there. And went down there on Christmas morning. As a matter of fact, we saw a homeless couple. We gave them a ride to a hotel or something like that in church van and whatnot, man. That's what I'm telling you. You're talking about getting out of your comfort zone. About the one of the few things, or volunteering on around 1 or 2 o'clock around that time. I'm cooking or I'm watching football around that time. But if anybody wants to volunteer their church or something, they ask me, well, I'll be right there, because that's helping somebody back. Get that, like you said, giving your time, because that's your time. You might not necessarily be spending money, but you're giving your time when you're helping to feed or passing out food. And sometimes you do spend money because you're buying socks, you're buying hats, you're buying gloves in the wintertime. We're going out Saturday to Finley Park, our church, to go out and feed the homeless and things of that nature and whatnot, man. So you got to be a servant. That's what we are. I don't care from an apostle, bishop, pastor, deacon, trustee, we are a servant, and that's what we do. We go out and we do things like that. And sometimes that's not the most comfortable thing, but you got to put your flesh aside and go out here and do what God called you to do. And then, there are several ministries that you can do, but being a homeless, that's one of them and whatnot. And like I said, it's not the most comfortable thing, especially on Christmas morning, but you have to, that's what you got to do. That's what you have to do, whatever God lays on your heart. And God bless you. We are servants, and we should serve with a full and pure heart.
I'm going to say this. I'm gonna add this to what I've been talking about all night. I think with the way the world is going right now today, we as an individual, as a country, as a people, not black, all people, we're gonna have to learn how to look out for each other. There's gonna come a day when if you have a selfish spirit, you won't make it. Because one of these days in this world, with the way the world is going, you're going to have to lean on somebody, and you're going to have to let somebody lean on you. We're going to have to learn to work together. We need to start teaching our kids and these generations to help each other, to look out for each other, because there's going to come a time with the way America is going. Hey, if you've never been in the military and you never fought in a war in another country, you'll understand what I'm talking about. When you go over there and take over their country and you fighting, hey, there's a lot of homelessness. If there ever come a time, which I pray not, that we ever have a war on this soil, you'll understand what I'm saying. And without people looking out for one another, we just won't survive it. You will have to go to your neighbor to maybe get some water or to help each other get a little meal. And you'll have to share things because the supply will be unlimited and you're going to have to look out for each other. It's going to come a day. I pray that it don't, but the Bible tells us that it's going to come. It's going to come a day where we need to start getting ready for looking out for one another. I believe that with all my heart.
Amen. You know,
Last thing I'm going to say, then I'm going to turn it back over to Todd. James 1:17 said, every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly light, who does not change like shifting shadows. No matter how much money I got, no matter how much money you got,
right,
it ain't yours anyway.
Right, correct.
Why not share it with somebody else? Because the bottom line is, you got it today and it could be gone tomorrow.
Tomorrow, correct.
Yeah.
I tell you, that's all I got, guys. Anybody got any comments?
Well, I don't know if everybody, who all remembers or whoever had this experience. I know growing up, we raised animals.
Mm-hmm.
And when it was time to kill the hog or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, your people coming.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And everybody taking something home before they go.
That's right.
You know, but that was something that and some of them, they didn't raise the hog. They didn't put not a dime in raising that hog. But when it was time to kill them and butcher them, everybody had a job to do. Mm-hmm. Everybody was coming, and everybody looked out for one another.
Yeah,
If grandmama had it, and we didn't, she gave it to us. And it may not have been money, it may have been just food. And we got away from a lot of that.
Let me let you guys school me on something, because I'm really struggling with this. But I feel like I'm right. How can we love God the way we say we love God, and we cannot love each other? Mm. I struggle with that. I struggle with understanding how we can claim to be a Christian, but we can't help our brothers and sisters.
The word, but Brother Jerome, the word say we are liar if that's the case. We are straight up liar. If you say you love God the way we say we love God and don't love your fellow man. See, I tell folks, man, they don't care about what they say about me or what they try to do to me. Yes, the Lord, like you said, the Lord got me. I'm not worried about what they say or what they do. The Lord got me, and I know this. Now, I'm not no pushover. I mean, I'm going to let you get away with so much like Elder Ratton. I'll let you get away with a little bit, but I'll stop you sooner or later. But you got to have the love of God in you. Amen. And I'm telling you, if you keep saying that you love God and you hate somebody, I don't care who it is. If you hate anybody, then you're a liar, period. That's what the word say. You're a liar. Because you see that man or that woman, and you can go get forgiveness and ask for forgiveness. You've never seen God. You don't even know what it look like. So how you going to love something you don't even know what it look like? But you know what that brother or sister look like. And whatever they did, you can ask for forgiveness, or they can ask for forgiveness, and you can make that up, and you both can walk twain together in this journey. If you can't ask for forgiveness or be forgiven, then you don't love God. Period. Amen. I don't care who it is.
I got a question.
Yes, sir.
And it's been eating at me for about 3 weeks. Okay. Question is, can you love God? Let's say you got to know, how can you love God? You don't love your brother. But can you not love your brother, but can you like your brother?
What do you say?
Man, because, dude, hey, you come to my job, man, some of these guys around there.
Dead bird, you guys.
And they don't love them, but I like them. And they don't love them, but I like them. And
your guys are not the worst guys. I period, they're not. Just think about it. You got murderers that love their partners. They're murderers, but they love their partner. Their partner murderers, but they love each other. Come on, man. Come on. You guys are not the worst guys. I can tell you that.
I'm trying to get there. That's all I'm going to say. I'm trying to get there.
Listen. Just think about this.
You remember when Steve Harvey did that video? Who said that? No, that was Cat Williams. Said, it's some verses in the Bible that is for him, and there's some verses in the Bible that he has not got there yet. That's me. I'm being totally honest. I've been in this battle, man, almost like 20 years. And it's still some verses, man, that I got to fix my route. Head around and go, you slap me, you talking about turn the other cheek. That's not me. And see, I threw that at me at work yesterday. And he's like, I'm going to slap you. You're supposed to turn the other cheek. And I'm looking at him, I'm like, boy, if you put your hands on me, I'm going to take my golf club behind my seat, and I'm going to swing like Tiger Woods.
But Dirty Bird, all that sounds good, and I'm not disagreeing with you. I want you to know that. But I'm a lot like that, but that don't make it right. Right. That don't make nothing you just said right, and I'm going to tell you why. Because as we grow with Christ, that's the fight. When you speak that into your life, you're saying that you're giving in to the devil and you letting him win the battle. All I'm saying is people like me and you, we gotta get to where even when we do wrong, we know that we should not do that and that the word of God is right. I got to fight that battle. You got to fight that battle. You can't just say, I'm going to do this. When I act out now, it's act out, it's unconsciously. It just happens. Not planned, not like what you're saying. See, you're living in it when you're thinking, oh, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. I don't think that way. I will react. But it's not right. It's not right because of who we profess to be in Christ. He wants to see our growth. He wants to see our change. He wants to see the Holy Spirit living within us. And when we started living like him, believe it or not, that stuff that you just talked about, you can walk away from it. You can stop it. You can say, hey, you know what? I ain't got to prove nothing to nobody about standing up to this guy. I can walk away from it. Is it hard? Probably so.
Yes.
I think in Christ, that's what we got to be striving to be. Mm-hmm. I just wanted to say that to you.
Let me get this for a minute.
Oh, but go ahead, Rob.
I got everybody up on the screen, Dilliver. I see all y'all at one time. I don't see now brother up here that gonna let somebody slap them. I don't see you. I'm looking at you now. I'm looking at all y'all. And ain't nobody on the screen gonna let nobody slap them. The thing is, Dirty Bird, how did you get to that point? How did you get all the way to where you were gonna, if he slapped you, you were gonna get that club? See, you gotta go all the way back and think about what actually happened. Like you know what I'm saying, man, we growing. And nobody's there yet, but we growing that we don't have to go through that. We walk in this walk to show whoever that is that should know that if you hit me, you may get something you don't want. Because I'm a Christian man, and the Lord does fight my battles. Now, he may use me to lay some on you, too. So you have to be more I'm not trying to say nobody out of individually, but we have to let the Spirit lead us. Ain't nobody let nobody slap them. Don't think that. Don't have that mindset. We protect us. We are protected. We protect our families, our neighborhood, and the ground we walk on. We're not no weak people. We save people. Men of God. That don't make us weak. That make us strong. And like Jerome said, we resist those temptations that carry us down the wrong road. That we can say no. That stuff ain't worth me going to jail or whatever for. It's not worth it. So I can walk away.
That works, dude. Yeah. I'm gonna say this, then I'm gonna turn it over to y'all guys. I thank everybody for listening to me tonight. It's not one of those favorite subjects everybody like to listen to. Mm-hmm. It's one of those hard subjects because we all deal with it. But that's all I had, and I'm gonna turn it over to Todd and let him facilitate the rest of the way.
Man, that's good. That was good, brother. Good, yes,
bro.
Good.
Good job.
What you gonna say, Mr. Chow?
Me and my wife, we went to Home Depot today. And when we got there, I parked the car away just about, I mean, I wasn't parked up beside nobody. I had in this center line parked in the parking lane, my space. We went inside and did some shopping. Came back out, and there was somebody parked so close to my car that I couldn't get in the driver's side. And yeah. Well, once you go, you can't get in there. You ain't that skin. I said, oh God, I just kept the longer I looked at it, it's just like, oh, that flesh wanted to rise up. But I had to crawl from the passenger side into the driver's side to pull off. But I had all kinds of thoughts going through my mind. Get that part. But yet, I couldn't follow them thoughts, and I had to turn around and I had to make myself say, Lord, help this individual today. Wherever they're going, let them be safe and let them follow you if they're not saved. I had to pray, and that wasn't nothing that I wanted to do. I wanted to go up there and kick the doggone mirror off. I mean, but I'm just saying, but I had to, sometimes you have to make yourself show the love of Christ, because that flesh, man, that flesh want to react.
Mm-hmm.
Sir.
But that's not who we are.
That's right.
Follow and believe Christ. Show love. So I pulled on off, went on about my business and prayed for him and go on.
Amen.
So you can do it, Billy.
Most definitely. I know I can.
Yes, sir. It's easy, man.
But that's been one. I just had to let him know. So I had to show him the fleshly side yesterday. But he recognized when he saw me this morning. He came up and apologized. So I apologized back to him.
Good job, Brother Jay. This was really strong, and a lot of times, man, we've asked for the ability to pray better. We've asked for all the things that Jesus was and is. But if serving meant that much to Jesus, mm-hmm. it gotta mean more to us.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I don't want to go another year on every step of the way doing this Tuesday night just for Tuesday nights. I'm going to probably reach out to you guys individually. Because this is just my take. This is my personal take. If serving meant that much to Jesus, on this walk, it's a ceiling to it. And you're going to bump your head somewhere on that ceiling if you're not serving in some capacity. The thing that Jerome was talking about, as far as being and helping each other and leaning on each other, where in today's era, it's outreach, because the world is so big now, and so we do that now through like outreach, because people know that we just really ain't gonna be able to go through neighborhoods and do that to help you, but we can pour into outreach and ministries and it's all kinds. I got several things going on. If think about this, if you can't give one. One day a month for 2 hours. Just think about that. One day out of 30, 31, 2 hours to go give to someone. That says something. I'm just being honest. We can do this Tuesday night thing the next 2-3 years. I don't want to do that just to be doing it. I'm just being honest. Because I get people asking me about, hey, where your guys at? You know, they in different towns and stuff like that. And it's true. But wherever you at, you can be doing stuff. And I want to encourage us to start praying on it and be led. Don't do it because I say it. But if you're on this walk, and I know you are, serving, he got to be nagging and tugging on you in some capacity in the servitude, because it meant so much to him. You know, we doing a good thing in service and sharing the word and sharing our experiences, but it's more, it's much more. And I want us to I want us to pray about it because I want us to be more than just this Tuesday night thing, because eventually people are going to tune us out if that's all we're doing, sharing scriptures and talking about what it means to us. So let's just pray on that. Good job, Jay. Great lesson tonight. Anybody got anything before we do our takeaway? If not, Dirty Bird, give me something.
Let me make sure I'm not. Am I muted? No, I'm not muted.
Oh, you good?
Hey, Brother Jerome, great lesson tonight. You actually gave me some leads, sir. You? It's down there in the bottom corner on my screen, Brother Price. Y'all gave me some good leads, sir. It's like what Brother Price said. What I did to get myself in that situation. What I should have done when I felt that it took the wrong turn, should have just went to the right. Either went to the left, let's walk away. So now I see what you gentlemen are saying, and it at all. I know how to deal with it. If it ever happens to me, whether I'm at work, home, wherever, I know how to deal with it. So I want to thank you guys very much.
Amen.
And Brother Vaughn.
Dirty Bird.
Yo, hello. Vaughn told me to tell you he's going to try to make it next Tuesday. And still dealing with this dialysis, man. It's like draining him. So he's going to try to get next week done on Monday instead of Tuesday so he can join us next Tuesday.
All right, that'll be good, man. Definitely missing, man. I ain't seen him in a while, so definitely welcome him on if he can make it. Real quick, Dirty Bird, that scripture is not a physical thing. It's not a physical thing. It's about the wrongdoings done to us. It's not so much somebody punching you in the face and take a lick.
Right.
It's anything that can happen to us that we don't like that hurt us. We gotta be. It's mm-hmm. about being the bigger person. It ain't really knuckling. It ain't knuckling up when somebody hits you. It's that being letting the Christ shine in you when you done wrong.